Thank you, Cliff, and thank you all for being here bright and early on a nice and rainy morning. Appreciate you coming out to this session. So I'm going to be talking about a food supply chain view of crop nutrition. I should point out that I myself am not an expert in crop nutrition, but I have experts to call on when I need them, which is great. But I have been working a lot with our metrics that interface with crop nutrients, so I have some information to share. So just an idea of where we're going, I'll give a brief introduction to Field to Market. So for those of you who were at the plenary on Sunday evening and saw Rod Snyder speak, it might be a little bit of a refresher from what he showed. I'll also go into more depth then on our field print calculator and some of the sustainability metrics that are important with the crop nutrition, and then talk about some applications of that field print calculator in the field. So this is our mission statement. Field to Market is the Alliance for Sustainable Agriculture, which focuses on defining, measuring, and advancing sustainability of food, fiber, and fuel production. This is a recap in the sense of just reminding people this is the motivation behind Field to Market. These are the sort of global issues that we all face that we're all aware of. We have rising population and demand for food. We're facing challenges in terms of climate variability and change, and we're already making a lot of use of our resource base. So how are we going to meet these future demands with the resources we have available? So Field to Market is this slide. It's these member organizations. It was started in about 2007 with about a dozen organizations, and it's now grown to 84. We have a relatively small staff, but the staff are really working to help advance the agenda that this alliance is putting together. So they're really running the show in terms of determining what are the activities that we're taking on, how are we going about this. So the membership is organized into five sectors. We have agribusiness, food and retail companies, conservation organizations, and grower organizations representing farmers. And we also have an affiliate sector that is universities and USDA's NRCS, who we work very closely with on a lot of projects. So those five sectors are really where the work gets done, and they form the governing bodies and the work groups that advance the work of Field to Market. So how we define sustainable agriculture, I think it's always worth putting this up because sustainability has a lot of definitions and a lot of concepts. As Rod talked about on Sunday, you know, there's short-term sustainability, which is just, am I going to stay in business this year, next year, am I going to make enough money to cover that? And then there's long-term sustainability, which is really, can I leave the land in better shape than I found it for the next generation? And so our definition of sustainability is really focused on that longer term, meeting the needs of the present while improving the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. And of these four bullets here, we've really focused on the improving the environment one, and the others are important as well, but we're focused on improving the environment. So the guiding principle is when you have this many diverse stakeholders coming around a table to try and agree on a program, it helps to have some sort of ground rules of where we're all trying to aim and what the guiding ideals are. The ones I think that are important in terms of our metrics and quantitative work is that we're really looking to make sure that our work is science-based and outcomes-based and technology-neutral. And what that means is that what we're really aiming to do is to design these metrics to look at the environmental outcomes. So with crop nutrition or crop nutrient management, we're really interested in the environmental outcomes related to that in water quality and greenhouse gas emissions. We do then need to collect information on how nutrients are being managed, but we're not going to be prescribing any specific management practices. We're going to be working with folks to help them improve on those environmental outcomes. We're also, I want to point out the emphasis on continuous improvement, and that concept is really, we are looking long term, and so the idea is not that sustainability is something where you achieve it and you're done. It's something where you're continuously working on it. And so when we talk about achieving continuous improvement, that's a longer-term commitment where you're benchmarking your performance for 5 years, and then you can start to look for improvements after that five-year phase. I'm not going to read this whole slide to you, but this is the Field to Market program goals. So these are goals that were written and adopted by the membership last year. Two of them are really related to two of the metrics that I'll talk about, so sustained contribution to solving regional water quality problems and sustained reduction in greenhouse gas emissions per unit of output. And the way in which the membership intends to sort of go about these goals is to be engaging more and more acreage into the Fieldprint platform tools and into the supply chain projects that I'll talk about. And so the goal is to engage 20% of productive acres of U.S. commodity crops, which is about 50 million acres, by 2020. These are the main areas of activity for Field to Market. The National Indicators Report, I'm not going to talk about that, but if you're interested, it is downloadable from our website. We also am really going to focus on how we do grower field prints and the supply chain projects therein. All right, so field print calculator, measuring field level outcomes, so looking at individual farm fields, and then identifying opportunities for improvement. So the Fieldprint Calculator was really designed as an online educational tool for farmers that indexes their agronomics and their outcomes to a field print to help them evaluate their decisions and management and compare their sustainability performance against various benchmarks. So the metrics are listed here. There are 8 of them that we're currently focusing on. Land use is essentially productivity or yield, looking at how productive the land is. Soil conservation is soil erosion, primarily looking at soil erosion loss. Soil carbon is an index value, looking at whether or not your field is most likely gaining or losing carbon. Water use is related to irrigation, so how efficient is your irrigation use. Energy use, again, how efficient is your energy use per unit of output. Greenhouse gas emissions and water quality, which I'll talk about more, and then biodiversity, which is a measure of habitat potential of the farm. That's currently not in the online calculator, but it's available for piloting. And so producers will enter their information into this and be able to look at their field and be able to look at across their fields, compare their fields, and compare their fields over time, and also look at local, state, and national averages. When I get to the field print projects, you can see they're also able to compare against neighbors and other growers in the same project. So our process for developing these metrics really begins with the membership. So those working groups made up of members decide on what metrics or outcomes they're really interested in and what are the metrics that can be designed to get at those outcomes. Really engaging science and technical advisors to assist in this planning and development phase, and then bringing in science experts to contribute to development and also provide peer review. So we've adopted a formal way to go about this process, which involves independent reviews as well as public comment period, and there's just a lot of rigor now in how we're going to be proceeding with revising the metrics to really ensure that they are science-based, that we are using the science in a way that's appropriate and that has the support of the scientific community. So the considerations when we're looking at developing or revising the metrics: balancing simplicity and accuracy to allow for a farmer-friendly interface. This is important for the online tool in particular because it can take a fair amount of time to enter all the data. We want to make this relatively easy to use. We also want to be able to link practices to outcomes at the field scale so that the practices farmers are adopting, they can actually see the change in the metrics that would result from those practices, so they're able to actually use it in a thoughtful way. All right, and I've covered some of these already. So I want to talk a little bit about data. We collect a lot of information into the interface. So we collect location information. That information is used to automatically pull data from USDA soil surveys as well as NRCS management templates and other information to help with calculating the metrics. We collect management information on crop rotation information. And that all goes into the metrics. So the greenhouse gas metric that we have currently was originally developed back in 2009. So it was a little bit early on in the program, as this is identified as a really high priority for a lot of organizations. The main components, in the sense of the ones that are usually largest in the field print, are on-farm energy use, so energy and fuel use in on-farm operations, nitrous oxide emissions, as well as emissions of greenhouse gases that are embodied in the fertilizer and crop protectant products that are used, so the energy used to and the greenhouse gas emissions related to the production of those is also included. And there are other things included in that, but those are the ones that are mainly the largest part of the footprint or the field print. Nitrous oxide emissions are emissions from fertilizer and manure, and consider a cover crop credit if there is one in the field. They're really at this point based on a tier one type coefficient, so related just to nitrogen application rate. So this was done at the time because there's a lot of research going on in this area, and it's a much more complex calculation in terms of what are your nitrous oxide emissions from a particular field in a particular year. Obviously, there's been a lot of research done since then, and we're working now in a process actually that Cliff and Laura Moody have been leading for the past year to really bring together scientific community and advisors to help design a way to improve the nitrous oxide emissions part of our greenhouse gas metric so that it can start to reflect some of the practices related to for our nutrient management strategies and what is the benefit of those for reducing emissions. The water quality metric we're currently using is the NRCS Water Quality Index. We started using this about a year ago, a little more than a year ago. It's a unitless directional indicator of water quality, so it's really designed by NRCS as a conservation planning tool to look at if you're able to reduce your water quality outcomes related to nutrients and sediment over time with adoption of conservation practices. So it uses expert judgment to assign ratings to various factors that can influence water quality. And again, this is one where we're taking another look because what we really would like to move to over time is a quantitative water quality metric. So we're looking into that as well. So the interface, this is just a screenshot of the interface where you start to enter data into the field print calculator. You can go online if you want and play around with it. It's free to use. There's a demo field. You can see how it works. But you outline your farm field, and then you enter all this information. The metrics I describe are all, in fact, independent of one another. Some of them use the same data, so there's crossover there. One data input will be used in several metrics, but they are actually calculated independently of one another. These are the specific variables going in for greenhouse gas emissions and water quality. So you can see the level of information that is captured regarding the management and the practices being used to handle the nutrient applications, timing, and form, and so on. So that's all captured and used to some extent in these calculations at this time. And this is the outcome of a field print. So what we're looking at, the spidergram is what we call it. So this is just an example for a cornfield. The shaded area in the middle is this particular field and their outcomes for each one of the metrics. The green is the national benchmark average, and the orange is the benchmark average for this particular state. So this way the grower is able to look at this, and this person is doing particularly well. You can see that they're well below, for example, in the soil conservation erosion, they're doing very well compared to state and national averages for erosion. So that's useful to see. They can also look at these to start to identify areas where they might want to target improvements. So they might be a little bit higher, for example, on energy use and greenhouse gas emissions and start a conversation around what is the way that can be reduced. This is just an example. So who's using the calculator? Don't get a lot of farmers just going in and entering their information just for their own interest. It's being used really in the context of supply chain projects where they're working with advisors, extension agents, crop advisors, ag retailers, the people they already work with to get advice on their management. They're working with them to enter information into the calculator, get the feedback, and look at practices that they can adopt. These numbers might be a little bit old, but we do, as of this year, we have at least 1,200 individual growers who've entered information, and about 1.5 million acres, but I think we're anticipating more before the 2015 season of data entry is over. And as I mentioned, the objective is first to establish a benchmark. So you can't just look at year one and year two and say there's a change, I'm improving. We have to look at, okay, what is my performance over a period of time where we're experiencing different weather outcomes and things like that, because obviously a lot of these metrics are sensitive to things that are outside the farmer's control. So even if they're doing their best to, you know, to improve in certain areas, it might take a few years to start to see that needle move on the average. So that's the goal. I want to show a couple of examples of how this has been used by some of our extension members or university members. So I'm going to show a couple slides from work that Lori Duncan at the University of Tennessee has done with cotton growers in her area. So what she's done is designed scenarios for them to look at. So you can see for one of the fields or one of the farmers she works with, the difference between a uniform fertilizer application and a variable rate fertilizer application. So this starts to show where the field print can be useful if you are starting to compare them. So this is the same field, just a different fertilizer application, and you can see this particular change really reduced the energy use for this and brought them down below the national average but still above state benchmarks, and also reduced greenhouse gas emissions and improved on the water quality to some extent. So you can start to see where it might be useful. She then looked at across different fields, you know, and so for these are three different fields, both in looking at the energy use in a little bit more detail, so looking at what component of that energy is from management, what component is from the applications, and then what component is from other methods. And you can see that the green wedge, which is really the applications, which is the variable rate change, is the one that's changing in these. And but for farmers, you know, for the ones ones over here, it's not such a huge change in their energy use. But over here, for this particular grower, that's a pretty big difference for, in energy use. And they also worked with some economists on this to provide then cost-benefit, essentially, analysis of this change also to the farmers so they could see whether, you know, how the economics worked out for their operation were they to adopt this variable rate application and how that would change their whole picture. She did a similar thing with cover crops, so looking at a scenario of cover crops in this farm, and so seeing that without a cover crop, this is that the field print is still doing relatively well, but over on the cover crop side, they're again able to reduce energy use as well as improve on water quality from the adoption of that cover crop. So that's one way that it's being used, is sort of educational purposes out in the field with extension agents and with others who are advising growers on conservation practices. We also have more organized field print projects, which is really where the supply chain part of the alliance comes in. So if there's a downstream food and retail company that wants to understand, you know, how they're getting demands from their customers to try and, you know, produce their products more sustainably and reduce their greenhouse gas emissions, reduce their water use. So how do they then understand what's going on the farms that are producing their raw inputs, right? Cereal companies can't just pick up the phone and call the wheat grower who's producing their wheat and get answers, right? There's many people in the middle there who are aggregating the grain and processing it and then selling it. So they have to actually engage these food and retail companies back through that supply chain until they're able to access the growers through their advisors. And start to talk with them about, okay, what are the practices you're doing? What is the field print of your current operations? And where are ways that we can work with you to help improve on those? So that's the logic of the field print projects, is to really help unite that supply chain and help send information in both directions. So we have, and these are, you know, member-driven supply chain partnerships. So these pop up wherever a group of members coordinates and decides that they want to start to look at that sourcing of a particular product in a particular region. Currently, we have them in 22 states. I think we have close to 50 in the field this year. So there's a lot of activity going on. And again, we focus on the commodity crops. So you can see corn, cotton, potatoes, rice, soy, and wheat are the current focus. And there's a couple more probably coming online in the next year or so, but it's really the focus is on the commodity crop chain. So I'm going to show a couple of examples or results from a multi-year project in Iowa that had 130,000 acres field printed in 2014. This is focused on soybean sourcing for Unilever's Hellmann's mayonnaise product. And so they've identified what growers are out there who are selling into the supply chain that they're sourcing that oil from, and working with them. They've been out in the field for several years now, establishing this five-year benchmark. So they're able to start at a project level. This is work that Stuart Ramsey did analyzing some of their data on the greenhouse gas emissions and where the greenhouse gas emissions are coming from in this particular project. You can see the main, you can see that these are indexed to production, so indexed to yield through, so pounds of CO2 equivalent per bushel. And you can see the largest share is really the tillage and field operations. We're growing soybeans here. And then after that, the crop protection, crop chemical products, so the energy and emissions embodied in the production of those. You can start to do the analysis. And then with runoff water quality, I wanted to show the water quality index, because this is interesting to actually, when you have enough acres, to start pulling out, okay, what is the difference amongst people who are using different levels of tillage, for example, which is something you would expect to influence water quality. The WQI, the larger it goes from 1 to 10, and the larger the number, the better the water quality outcome. And so it has these different components to the score. You can see the percentage score from each of the components, and you can see how these conventional conservation and no-till break out along those lines. And at the bottom there, the water quality index number at the end is showing that there's higher scores for no-till, middle scores for the conservation tillage, and then lower scores for the conventional tillage. So sort of getting at the broad picture of the environmental outcome over the sourcing region that they're working with. So what's next? Where are we going from here? Feedback from these projects and users is informing revisions and a next version of the online field print tool. So we're working to update some of the metrics, as I mentioned. On water quality, we are working to engage scientists and develop a more quantitative metric that we're able to use, and that's underway. We're also working to enable the use of these metrics in APIs, application programming interface. So the idea there is that farmers won't need to go to the online interface and enter all their information, but rather they're already capturing much of that in the technology and the software and the equipment that they're using. So we're working with a number of equipment companies and so on to get the metrics into those platforms so that they're able to generate the metrics quite easily with data that they're mostly already collecting. So that's really one of the ways that we're planning to scale this up, is to make it much easier to use through those technology advances. And we're also exploring different methodologies for reporting on the program outcomes, for looking at how we can start to understand the impacts of this project at scale, and measure our progress against those goals that I mentioned earlier. So I think I have plenty of time for questions, if there are any.
Fertilizer efficiency only have N2O greenhouse gas has been topical fashionable in the past, but I think if you look at nutrient efficiency, probably a better indicator, like there's a consortium internationally looking at nitrogen footprint, for example, the nitrogen loss either as a leaching, water quality, greenhouse gas, ammonia, health issue. I think that's probably a better indicator.
So,
your topic is from field to market. So, what's your plan to really going to influence the market? Like, is that the ingredient business? There will be a food labeling, so can a consumer can tell whether this agriculture produces is more sustainably produced or not?
So, two great questions. So the first one is nitrogen use efficiency. Why aren't we using that as a metric? And that's a very useful measure, looking at how much nitrogen is applied, how much is removed in the harvest, and then the remaining is somehow, remaining in the environment. And that's useful for a lot of purposes, but it doesn't get us directly to the outcomes. So what we're really trying to focus on is the environmental outcomes. So We're not just interested in looking at how efficiently the nitrogen is used, but really how much is entering the water supply, and are we able to reduce that number? How much is going to greenhouse gas emissions to contribute to that, and what are the mitigation opportunities for that specific outcome? So I think it's a really useful measure, I think, but it's not quite getting at the outcomes that we're trying to achieve. So I think that's why it's not been used. The other question is, how are we taking this to market? Essentially, is there going to be a label or something? And that's something that's under development right now, which is a verification system. So that what that means is that through these supply chain projects, then if we take the example I showed, Unilever, down the line, if they're able to show improvement, would be able to make a claim that they have reduced greenhouse gas emissions or achieved some improvement in their supply of this product, and be able to verify that through a verification program. So we joined the ICEAL Alliance, which handles some of these environmental certifications in the sense that we're following all their protocols for developing this system, so that companies will be able to make those claims that will then be backed by field to market and verified by an independent auditor. So where that goes eventually, if there's going to be a sticker on the grocery store shelves, you know, that'll be up to the companies how they want to communicate then their claims to their customers. But down the line, we're hoping that will be the case, that this will really be setting a standard for sustainably sourced products.
I have a question that I think you kind of partially answered anyway, but in general, what assurance, and thanks for your presentation and enjoyed it a lot, but what assurance are you able to provide that this is going to give an accurate field trend, if you can use that term?
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, that's a good question, and that's why we have adopted this process for metrics development and revision. That's really focused on getting independent peer review of the metrics as they're adopted, so that they have the backing of the scientific community. You notice there's also a public comment period, so even folks that we don't seek out as reviewers would have an opportunity to look at that and provide feedback. And we only will formally adopt a metric once it's been through all that, so there's always opportunities to change things. So that's going forward the way that we're trying to ensure that these are really accurate for the purpose we're applying them for, and have backing the scientific community. And we have the sort of value of the multi-stakeholder approach is that we have everyone at the table, and so even at the design phase, there are university experts, there are conservation groups in the room helping to design what they think are solid metrics for these outcomes as well. So there's a lot of rigor to that.
Thank you, and I have a second question related to that. You mentioned that you were looking at some water quality metrics. Can you expound on that a little bit? What water quality metrics are you headed in? Where is that review process in that?
Right. Right. So the Water Quality Index is a great conservation planning tool, and it's worked in the sense of starting conversations around how can you as an individual start improving on water quality. The interest of the membership is really to be able to look at quantitative water quality outcomes over watershed scales, right, to see can we impact water quality in larger areas that have real, where the real environmental consequences are felt. So we've been talking with a lot of different groups who do water quality modeling of some kind, mostly process-based models, and we're looking to see if we can identify the right partner to work with to customize potentially a model for us to use as a metric. So it's something we've been exploring. It's what I know we've done a lot of sort of background looking at what tools are already out there, and because there are a lot. But none of them are doing quite what we would need them to do in terms of geographic scope and in terms of the outcomes. So we've been working to identify that. So there'll be more to come, hopefully, over the next year and where we decide to go.
Time for a couple more.
Okay. and we're looking for collaborators in that effort. So put out the plug for everybody that's interested in working on an improved metric. We are certainly looking for people that have parts of this puzzle that we need to put together.
Yep. All right.
Any other questions?
Tom has to stand.
Tom Bosner from the International Plant Nutrition Institute. Enjoyed the presentation, Allison. One question that pops up in my mind, you've listed about 85 number of companies, many of which do their own sustainability reporting. How do you, what process do you use, or how do you keep your sustainability reporting principles aligned? I'm sure there's lots of differences among your members as well.
Right, so I think you'd have to ask the members then how they're aligning their field-to-market work with their other reporting. We are working with a couple of other sustainability groups, notably the Sustainability Consortium and Innovation Center for U.S. Dairy, to align metrics so that there's commonality and so that we're, you know, because there are a lot of members common to those, to make sure that, that you can do that in a way that makes sense. Yeah.
Just to clarify, oh, my name is Sue Gray, thanks for the presentation. But to clarify, do you take into account productivity here if a farmer in Region A is producing four times as much but has twice the emissions? Is that reflected in this, or is it strictly on the environmental impact?
So a lot of them are indexed to productivity. So it's greenhouse gas emissions per bushel, energy use per bushel. So it's that's how it's, so that accounts for the differences in productivity.
Join me in thanking Allison for her presentation.